Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome once again to Madame Perry's Salon. Now, you know, if you're new here, a special welcome to you, and I hope you feel very comfortable. And why is it called Madame Perry's Salon? No, it's nothing, I'll tell you what it is rather than say what it isn't. About 5 years ago, I started a regular blog, and I wanted to have writers and musicians and artists and all kinds of people that I just found entertaining and enjoying that I've had the pleasure and the good fortune to know and share them with the world. And one thing I always fancied and would love to have would be like women in the United Kingdom and Europe and Asia and centuries past. There would always be some kind of patroness of the arts, a well-to-do woman who would open a room of her home or open her home to musicians and writers and artists of the day, and they called it the salon, and they would get together and gather and exchange ideas, read each other's work, or play their new music. And I loved the whole idea of the salon, so I began calling my blog Madame Perry Salon, because I usually had at least not just one myself and an interviewee, but I would also have a second person interview or a second guest to make more of a conversational feel. And last year, I moved the salon into the blogosphere, I believe it's called. So this is sort of a cyber world version of an old school gathering of interesting people. And that's exactly what I have for you tonight. Now, I love the fact that I can bring you some people you already know and love and are excited to listen to and maybe call in and talk with and so forth. And I also like bringing you people that maybe you have not had the opportunity to meet yet, and that but you will, and you will be fans, and you will fall in love with them. And I have two fantastic people like that tonight. Later in the hour, we're going to have musician, singer-songwriter Savannah Allday. Now, you may have met Savannah on the show, I think it was last September or October, when the Macon Music CD out of Macon, Georgia was came out, and it had 8 artists or bands that had competed for a spot on the CD and to represent music, current music coming out of Macon, Georgia. And it was the idea was conceived of and produced by our good friend Joey Stuckey of Sound Studios in Macon, Shadow Sound Studios. And then Savannah was one of the artists on there, which is still available for free download from Newtown Macon. But she's got a lot going on, this gal, and so we're going to talk to her later. And I've also played her songs on the show several times and gotten good feedback. But before that, you know I love to read, and I love my writers, and I love my readers. And I have got a fantastic guy, author Chad Clark. And he's got a new book. It's a collection of over 70 short stories called A Shade for Every Season. I am so excited. And he's also got a great blog, and it's the blog is one that's it's short, so that if you're commuting to work, like I used to do in Atlanta, I'd have a long commute, and I'd want something I could read on the way. He's got something to fidget with, you're at the DMV line or riding on the metro to work, or just hanging out with some other entertainment. Chad A. Clark has got you covered, and I want to bring him into Madame Perry's Salon right this minute and introduce him. Mr. Chad A. Clark, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Come on in.
Hey, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, I am glad you're here. Just come on in. I know this is your first time here, and some people have said, like author Robert Leland Taylor said, that it looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle to him. So just a big cushy. So just part those little beaded curtains. Come on in. Find a nice cushy place to sit.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Tell us about, first of all, I am excited about your book that I just found out about a month or so ago. We've been talking about it here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Finally get you here live. A Shade for Every Season. That's a book of over 70 short stories. That's a lot of stories. How big is this book? Would I be able to lift it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The book is actually, the total length of the book is actually pretty short. It's 70 stories, but all of the stories are right around 1,000 words. So it's, I mean, you described it pretty aptly in your introduction there. So it, you know, most of the stories are designed so that you can, you know, theoretically read them while you're sitting in a waiting room or waiting for some drinks to come for your table and you're by yourself just looking to kill a few minutes. So yeah, it's definitely a short book. It's only a few hundred pages.
Yeah, and that's usually me too, sitting there having lunch or dinner by myself and reading and something to entertain myself seriously. Let's face it, I'd rather be by myself at a table with a good book than with somebody who's just not good company, you know?
Sure.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I took probably in that direction myself also.
Okay. So tell me, so if you've got over 70 short stories in here, do they cross several genres or one main genre, or what do you have?
Yeah, it's several different genres that are represented in the book. And, you know, horror by far is sort of my home. It's where I live as an author. So most of the stories in there are horror genre, but there's also a fair amount of science fiction in there. There's a few, stories that are just kind of meant to be just kind of fun, just kind of quirky, funny stories. But it's a pretty good range of genres, I think, a good representation.
Okay, I like it. So, but you mostly in the horror genre, don't you?
I'm sorry?
I said you mainly write in the horror genre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Horror is my first love. I was a huge Stephen King fan growing up, huge fan. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, so that was, you know, obviously a big boon for, horror movies and the horror genre. So that's definitely my first love. But, I like to try and branch out when I can.
Was it Stephen King that first brought you into writing?
I think it's probably one of the first, it's the first times that I really remember really zeroing in on an author specifically and looking for more of his books. When I was younger, John Bellairs was another one that I liked reading a lot. That was more kind of a targeted towards a younger reader, but also kind of a sort of fantastical, sort of magical, kind of with a bit of a horror edge to it. But yeah, Stephen King was definitely one of the first big ones for me.
So would you say he was your greatest influence?
Yeah, I would definitely say he was up there. He wrote a book on writing not too long ago. I guess it was shortly after his car accident about 10 years ago. And it's one of the few. I don't have a lot of books on writing in terms of craft, but that is one book in particular that I come back to pretty regularly just to get some inspiration and get some ideas and some guidance.
I'm sort of in the middle of that book now, and mostly because so many good authors like yourself have highly recommended it.
Yeah, it's a great book. Yeah. I highly recommend it to anyone who's interested in writing. There's a lot of great stuff in there.
Now, I was reading a quote, and I don't know to who this is attributed, who the writer is, but it was a quote that was on the website about A Shade for Every Season that says, Chad Clark's A Shade for Every Season is a wonderfully constructed book of short vignettes that are a blend of suspense, thriller, murder, and mayhem. It reminded me of the writing of Edgar Allan Poe and Dan Brown, the short story, short chapter style of writing that makes a fun read for the reader. Okay, those are two names that are both popular, but I don't hear them together very often, Edgar Allan Poe and Dan
yeah.
Brown.
Yeah,
so yeah. How did you feel when you read that? I mean, you...
Well, yeah, it was definitely a pretty cool to obviously to be compared to those two. I mean, if you're getting anywhere near in the ballpark of that type of popularity and notoriety, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
so it's it's one of those things where obviously it makes me feel, you know, yes, it makes me feel good to have my name placed right next to someone named Edgar Allan Poe, but at the same time, I also try, I have to sort of put that, you know, in a certain frame of realism also, and try not to let that get too serious upstairs in the old noggin.
and there's some others on here. Let's see, someone called you the Rod Sterling of the 21st century. Now,
oh, yeah,
that's intriguing.
That's one of my favorite quotes. It's one of those things that I could never say about myself in all seriousness, but it does certainly make you feel good to have someone, you know, hold you in that level of esteem.
Oh,
so.
My gosh, yes. I mean, talk about, you know, talk about setting the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
It's one of those moments where you love to hear that, but then at the same time puts you into this weird mindset where you start to try and reverse engineer your own writing and try and figure out what it is that I'm doing that they love so much, and you run the risk of getting so far inside your own head that you sort of screw up your own natural process.
Now,
if that,
that
makes any
quote,
sense.
Well, yeah, it does. I'm not a writer like you. I could never, never be, you know, what you people like you and Stephen King do. But I certainly, you know, appreciate and am grateful for the fact that you guys write what you write. And that quote, the Rod Serling of 21st Century, I believe was in reference to your book Borrowed Time. That was a novel, which
Actually also a collection of stories. It's a collection of six stories. So they're longer than the stories in A Shade for Every Season. Mm-hmm. I would say two of the stories are probably more like novellas, but that's also a collection.
Oh, okay.
That was my first book.
The...
I published it in 2014.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, yes, Borrowed Time, a collection of six tales bridging the chilling world of horror and the mind-bending realm of science fiction.
Yep.
Like that. And the another quote on that said, an entertaining, at times creepy, and at times mind-bending short story collection in the milieu of Ray Bradbury and Stephen King. I mean,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The reviewers seem to be loving the name dropping, and I'm certainly not going to complain about that, but...
Well, okay. Well, I think the fact that you're so modest about it to me gives you even more cred.
Sure.
Seriously. So when did you actually, I mean, I imagine you were a reader from childhood, I'm guessing. That's most.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I was reading at a pretty young age. My parents were pretty good about getting me to the library and checking books out on a pretty regular basis. So by the time I actually started school, I was actually already reading at a fairly advanced level. So that was definitely sort of got me kick-started on the sort of the road that led me to where I am now. For some reason in my head, when it comes to actually writing, I sort of identified the third grade as being when I started to get really excited about the notion that, you know, I loved all these movies and all these books. And that was when I started to realize that, you know, that's something that I could do. And it's something that I could create. Now, I have since uncovered artwork and little short, silly poems that I wrote at earlier age than that. So clearly I had gotten that notion in my head earlier than the third grade. But for some reason, that sort of is the moment that I've sort of have decided to pinpoint in my brain.
Is that
and then...
You... Oh, go ahead.
Yes. So I got started pretty early, and you know, at that point, you know, when you're a kid, obviously, you're going to be emulating a lot of the stuff that you read is going to end up sort of becoming what your writing is. And so as I got older and I got more sort of focused on school and academics, the writing sort of fell by the wayside for a while I was, you know, your life moves on to other things, which I think is pretty common for everybody. And so I sort of had gotten comfortable with the notion that, you know, maybe that part of my life was done. And then at some point about 10 years ago, I started just getting the itch again and started to get back into it and getting myself into more of a, a forced, you know, routine of really trying to work on my craft. And that led to, you know, very happily being able to publish my first book, Borrowed Time, about 2 years ago.
Ah, oh, fantastic. Listen, I have a question from my friend David Hurley. He is he is a poet and author and publisher of Subtlety Magazine. And he said, ask Chad about his Baked Scribe blog, the woman's short fiction entries. And it says, how prolific is he? Which is what I'm saying, too. He said that you have a smooth way that draws one in. And he said, and this line from Rustic Retreats really got me. And this is from Rustic Retreats, which is one of the entries on your Baked Scribe blog for people listening. It says, the feeling of being observed was constant, like a sentient draft that would come through and brush past him.
Yep. I actually remember that line. Yeah, that is it's interesting that you picked that story specifically, or that he did, because the book Borrowed Time, I named it that because that was sort of the title story of the book. So one of the novellas in that book is called Borrowed Time, and it's basically the story is about a young man who has an ex-girlfriend who has recently committed suicide. And he finds out after the fact that shortly before she started to basically go insane, she spent a week up by herself at this cabin that's just located out in the middle of nowhere. And so he sort of tricks two friends of his to come along with him on a little fact-finding mission where he wants to find out what happened to her. And so the story, Rustic Retreats, is actually, I published that on the one-year anniversary of my blog, and that actually takes place in that same universe of that story, in that same cabin. And there are actually, if you read Borrowed Time, there are actually a couple of Easter eggs and references to characters from Borrowed Time in that story.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Nice.
But yeah, that was a fun one to write.
And yes, and David Hurley would find that. And now that, you know, knowing that sentence and then knowing the story from which it comes, ooh, kind of gives you a little chill, you know, right?
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah, no kidding. So when did you actually know that you were going to write stories or write a book?
When I knew I wanted to publish, or
what
exactly? Well, I think that, let's see. So Borrowed Time came out in 2014, and I would say that it was probably about 2 years or so before that I had really started putting forth an effort to really focus on the writing and really trying to not just start projects but actually finish things and actually work towards a goal with my work. And so I just got to the point, you know, I had these stories lined up and they were all coming out pretty good. And I was pretty happy with how they were doing and how my process was coming along. And it just sort of clicked in my head one moment that I just decided that this is something that I wanted to do. And so I just made a plan and tried to get online and get to know other writers and other authors, and I sought out help where I needed it, and I just slowly built from there.
Oh, okay, good. Now, do you go out and meet your readers? Do you go to conventions or go book signings and meet people?
I don't really have I haven't really gotten into that yet, just because, you know, it's a little bit more challenging to make time for stuff like that. You know, we have two kids at home, so that's obviously, you know, that makes things more of a challenge. And obviously, I need to, you know, my little boys are the center of my world, and they need to be, you know. But I usually try and I've got pretty good contact with people that I engage on social media, and then also through the blog as well. So so far that's been the extent of my sort of outreach into the world as an author.
Have you engaged with readers that might not have met your work? I mean, through your blog, new people that discover you?
Yeah, I've been able to meet some people through the blog, and it seems like, I've noticed within the last, 6 or 7 months, it seems like slowly, steadily building a following, and I'm starting to get some fairly regular engagement from regular people that are coming back and reading the stories and leaving some little bits of feedback. So yeah, it's been good.
How old are your boys?
We have a very energetic and moody 3-year-old.
Okay.
He's definitely in full-blown toddler stage right now. And then we just had our second son just last year. He's getting pretty close to 10 months.
Oh, wonderful. Now, is your wife
Yeah.
also a writer?
No, she's actually she's more of the science side of the family. She's a registered vet tech, and she has a degree in animal science. So I like
Oh,
to say that she's the smarter half of the
okay.
family
Oh.
sometimes, I feel like.
It's not like a well-matched pair. So do you read to your boys?
Yeah, we try and read them quite a bit, actually. But yeah, that's you know we're it's it, it they seem to be enjoying the books when we read them, and so it's a good time to spend with them also to spend with them.
That's
I
right.
don't read
They
my
have
books
some
to them, but.
I was about to ask you that. You don't read them. Your
Yeah,
books, huh? Not
no.
yet. Not yet. Save daddy's books for later.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they can really enjoy and appreciate them. So yeah, you don't want them to have bad dreams.
Sure.
Just kidding, just for the kids now, not for me. So, who was most surprised when you published your first book? I mean, did you have friends or family that were surprised to see?
I don't know if I would say that there was really anyone that was. I mean, I think that most people who I was close with, in terms of family and friends, I had. Talked to them quite a bit leading up to it that, this is something that I was doing, this is a path that I was on. So I think that, it wasn't really a huge surprise when the book did come out. But, I got a pretty good outpouring of support from people that were close to me when it came out, and just in terms of, congratulatories and support and whatnot. So that was nice.
Okay. I wanted to read something from your probably would have been a better description from your Baked Scribe blog, and the website, folks, is bakedscribe.weebly.com. And I've also got links to you that I've had on here. I'm also sharing Chad A. Clark on Twitter too, and Facebook. If anybody that follows Martin Perry or Jennifer Perry there has seen that. But I like the description on the Baked Scribes site, where it says, "A native Midwesterner, Chad grew up on a solid cultural diet of Sir Arthur C. Clarke, Isaac Asimov, Stephen King, J.R.R. Tolkien, Steven Spielberg, to name a few. Regular, healthy servings of film, novels, and comic books created and informed his passion for genre fiction and continues to shape his writing style to this day." And I love that because it just shows that your parents must have been readers.
Yeah,
Yeah, because
definitely.
you already told me that they were good about taking you to the library and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think that's a richness that can't be replaced by anything else.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was huge. And I wouldn't necessarily say that all of those things made me a writer. I think that that's something that is sort of inherently in you or not. But those sort of, it's almost like, just sitting in all these creative juices around you that just help seep and shape the kind of writer that you become, or the type of creative individual that you become. And that was definitely huge for me. And I would say also, just real quick, that actually the blog is actually on a different host. It's actually on a different hosting site now, but it's really easy to find. You can actually just go to bakedscribe.net. And that'll take you directly to the.
And folks, I can testify because that's what I did, and it was seamless. It just took me right there. Don't worry, you're being read about it. And before I could even finish reading it, it just took me there very smoothly, very
Well,
nicely.
good.
And
Good. I'm glad.
That's good. So you make it easy for us too. Well, you know, if you're listening live, or even if you're listening to the download on this after the show is broadcast, you see I've got links on the page here on the Blog Talk Radio page or the Madame Perry Salon page to Chad Clark's website and to his blog, the Big Scribe site. Where can people buy your books, Chad?
Both of my books are available through Amazon. You can get them for the Kindle, or you can order paperback editions as well through Amazon. That's the easiest way to purchase the books. And you can also, if you prefer, you know, I know some people prefer the brick and mortar stores. If you go into a bookstore, it's probably not going to be on the shelves at your local bookstore, but you can special order the books through your bookstore.
All right. So everybody did it. Chad couldn't make it any easier for us. So I've got the links in here, and I'll be sharing them again on Twitter as well. And you just go
to
the
site. Yeah, and there are links in the blog. There are links in the blog also that take you to where you can buy the books as well.
And you know what else, folks? If you go to your favorite bookstore, whether it's an indie or one of the big chains of bookstores, go in and ask for it, because if they don't have it, they need to know that people want it.
Definitely.
And they could drive their ordering habits, however they choose to do it. However, whatever influences them, I think mostly it's people, the customers that come in and ask for books. So, Chad A. Clark, A Shade for Every Season, and The Big Scribe, I couldn't be happier to have you here. Thank you so much for making time to join us. Do you have any parting words for Madame Perry Salon and the listeners?
I'm just, you know, I'm thrilled to be able to be here and have the chance to talk about myself and my writing, and I'm thrilled that you have enjoyed yourself, what you read, and, you know, I would tell anyone that's listening, if you're interested in my books, as I said, they're already available through Amazon, and if you're curious about my writing style, please feel free to check out the blog. That's why it's there, so you can get a sense of what the writing is like. You can read new stories every week. Every Wednesday I post a new story. So feel free to check out the content. And you can also find me on Facebook. I have an author page set up on Facebook. It's just Chad A. Clark. And you can find me there as well. And I hope to see and talk to some of you soon.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you so very much. And please promise me you'll come back sometime. When you have your next
anytime
book,
you want.
Call me first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Okay, thanks again. And keep writing,
right,
Chad. Get out of here and keep writing.
Oh, I will.
All right. Thank you, dear. Good night. All right, folks. So that was Chad A. Clark. And what a charming fellow. It always seems that the people who write in the horror genre, things are scary and terrifying and keep you up at night, always seem to be the most charming people, you know, like our friends Jasper Bark, R.J. Cavender, folks like that. They'll scare you to death, but they're so charming. Before my next guest comes on, I'm going to tell you about a couple of cool things. I always want you to visit my fantastic sponsors. You know, I've been telling you the last few weeks, Becky Kyle, when she was here last week, we told you about, you know, our friends at Common Pocket Player. We've mentioned them here a lot. They're big fans. Friends of Madame Perry Salon, a Common Pocket Player, and I've got the link to it if you're looking here on the page. I've got the link to the Facebook page. They had the cool online Halloween show last year, or Halloween party and contest. You could win prizes, so even costume contest. So even you could be out at a club or at a private party at the same time, enter that contest, a costume contest, and win a prize. Not too shabby, partying in the cyber world. But right now, they've been launching some activewear. And one of the things, if you're looking at the slideshow for this down there, you see I've got, you know, my logo there. I've got the cover for Chad's book. Got a picture of Savannah Allday, my next guest in her band. But I also have a picture of the Common Pocket Player activewear, this cute little stuffed critter they've got. And just click on that picture so you can enlarge it and see. They're absolutely adorable. And so there's lions and hippos, elephants and giraffes, and you can get them with order them with two little bandanas in your choice of colors, so that you can have things written on them, have them embroidered as you wish, and then for only $35, because that includes the shipping and handling, they'll send them right to you. Click on that, go look at it, look at the pictures there. But we love Common Pocket Player, we love Boomer Brumley, and we love this Common Pocket Player activewear and these cute little critters. So yeah, go look at them right now. Also, I wanted to tell you about another book, and I just found out about this. Is by an author named Diane Emerson, and you'll see her name here on the page two with the link to her book, Diane Emerson, Emerson. Her book is called Psychopaths in Our Lives, My Interviews. She's actually interviewed several people. The description from Amazon, where I've got the link here, will take you to Amazon to buy the book. It says, Psychopaths in Our Lives contains actual interviews with three normal psychopaths. Think of serial killers when we hear the word psychopath, but the vast majority are not in prison, but walking among us. Lacking a conscience, they leave a path of destruction and despair as they pass through. And I think we're all thinking of some people we know like that right now, maybe some bosses or coworkers or people that you've known in school or something. So Psychopaths in Our Lives, by interviews by Diane Emerson. Fascinating book, and she's really done the research, and she's actually interviewed these people. So check that out. Just follow that link. Go read about it on Amazon. And I think you'll definitely want to take that. If you're like me and curious about people and human behavior, yeah, go ahead and get that book. Check it out now. And I'll also be tweeting a link to it as well from Lone Wolf Jim Twitter. Now, if you were listening last fall when I had everyone from Macon Music CD, and that's Macon, M-A-C-O-N, Macon, Georgia, home of Jason Aldean, Otis Redding, Little Richard, and so many cool people, you got to meet this lady, my next guest, and hear her music. And I usually play something of hers about once or twice a month on the show anyway, just because I like it. So let me introduce you now to this fabulous singer, songwriter, musician. I can tell you right now, she, as I said here, her star is rising fast and hot. Please, let me welcome Savannah Allday to Madame Perry Salon. Savannah, come on in.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
Doing good. Come on in, have a seat. As I was telling Chad Clark, some people say that Madame Perry Salon looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. So just find you a big cushion to sit on, a big velvety cushion, and sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Well, I appreciate it. And, yes, seems like a genie's bottle. I heard a dog.
Yes, yes. We were able to get the dog to fit the bottle, too, here in Madame Perry's. Yes, it is a dog. It is not my producer or anything, although that's not what he thinks. So welcome, sit down. Listen, I've got a lot to talk to you about in a little bit of time. But, you know, I first introduced you to my audiences when you were on with everybody else from the Make a Music CD last,
yes.
What was that? I think that was September, October?
That was September, I believe.
But you had already made a CD or an EP before that, hadn't you?
Yes, I had recorded with Joey Stuckey, who actually was the producer for the Macon CD. I had made an EP, which is like half a CD, so it's like five songs, with him back when I was in ninth grade, like the summer after my ninth grade year.
Really? Because let me tell you, not last year, I think it was April, the year before last, I had gone down to his studio one morning with some friends who I was doing some publicity work for at the time for an event. And they were going to be a guest on his TV show. And I remember going down, you know, getting up early, meeting them down there at the studio, Joey's studio. And that was the first time I'd ever met Joey Stuckey in person. And I remember when I was walking out, I saw these, you know, pictures on the wall, I guess CD or EP covers blown up. And I remember seeing your beautiful face on one and seeing like Savannah all day. I just kind of stopped and looked. I thought, okay, I'm getting a vibe from this picture, not to sound all woo-woo. But you know what I'm talking about, the picture that's in there?
Yes, when I know which one you're talking. Yeah. It was it was one I think I had done it, a photo shoot at a racetrack. And it was, yeah, you know, you got to go everywhere to get the, you
yes,
know, the
you
right
do.
Picture. They never tell you the story behind the album covers, but yeah, I think I took that one on the racetrack, and Joey was so funny with that album because he was, everybody makes a joke with my last name because my last name is Alday, and so everybody makes the joke, you know, Alday every day, and everybody thinks they're really original with it. Well, Joey,
they're the first ones that ever thought of it, right? Like they think that.
Oh, all of them do, and Joey was no exception. I mean, when we were in the studio, he was like, Alday every day. Oh, my goodness, we have to write a song like this. I've never heard anything like it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Joey. Yeah, never heard it before, you know. But
yeah.
It ended up being a great name for the album. So, yeah, I think it's the All Day, Every Day album that's tagged up on the wall.
So, see, I knew. So then when I first heard about the Megan music CD, you know, I still remember, I know that name. I saw your picture at the studio. So, yeah. It's good advertising. I know. People come up with that. And listen, I love Joey, and he knows it, but I will call him also about that. I go, oh, gee, Joey, did you want to get some new writers in or something like that? You know, I'll tease him and give him a hard time.
He means it. He gives everybody such a hard time. He needs somebody who's going to throw it right back at him.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I think he's just waiting for somebody to do that.
Oh,
so,
he is.
So you've got the one EP out. That was the one you made after ninth grade. It's about ninth grade. My gosh, child. Why'd you wait so late to start for on your career?
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is that I had actually been singing since I was about eight, and I had been going to Nashville when I was 11 and then all the way through ninth grade, and then I decided kind of to bring it home, and that's when I said, you know, I really should, I got big into songwriting and was like, you know, I really need to put some stuff down. I need to get some experience songwriting. So I wrote a lot of those songs with Joey as a way to kind of get my feet wet into that department of music.
Okay.
And so, you know, I felt like it was a long time, but I really, now that I look at it, after all the stuff I've done now, I'm like, wow, that I feel really young doing that. Yeah.
But you do feel good about it, though, don't you? I mean,
that. Oh, yeah. I love that album is the fact that it was the first one I did, and it shows me how much I've grown. And that's what I really enjoy about that one. And Joey made it such a great experience that every day I was excited to go to the studio.
Oh, I can imagine that. Yes, I can picture him being just that way. Because he does get so excited about everyone he works with, and some people more than others, and you know, he'll. And I'd known of him. I'd known who he was, but I'd never met him until that day, which was, I guess, almost 2 years ago now, that when I went to the studio. And, but yeah, when he's excited about a project or somebody, you know, you just feel it. Well, let me ask you this. Now, you just got back from Nashville. You were just there last weekend, weren't you?
Yes, I was in the Jonas Blizzard.
In Nashville. I'll bet that was fun. Can we ask what you were doing up there? And it better be exciting.
It actually is exciting. I am, of course, in my senior year of high school right now, and I'm going to be going off to college next fall at Belmont University in Nashville.
Yay.
And I'm very excited. And I was up there actually to have my audition to get into the voice program there, and so yes, that's what I was sticking it out in all that snow and ice for, was to see if I can get into my major, crossing fingers.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that's ever heard you, but I tell you what, before we go any further, yeah, because I was trying to keep up with you, and I saw that some of your colleagues from the chorus in school were wishing you good luck up there.
Yeah, everybody was so sweet pouring out their love. A lot of people from the Macon CD actually have been texting me going, good luck, be safe, don't freeze.
And how cold was it?
You know, it actually, of course, we didn't try to venture outside too much because being from Georgia, we do not have the skin for the snow. We have very thin skin, and we like the summer air much better than we do the winter. But when we were outside, you know, people always talk about it being so cold, but I guess if the wind was blowing more, it would have been colder, but it wasn't too bad. But I had never seen that much snow before, and so it was actually kind of exciting to get to walk around in it.
How much was there?
I think maybe a foot or two.
Yeah. So are you from Macon, Georgia?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, so... Yeah, although I'm in North Carolina now, so you know, I tell somebody tonight, I said, the thing about being from Atlanta, I guess, and Macon, same way I know, is that to us, boots are something that are cute with an outfit.
Yeah, definitely. Not a necessity.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be something that's cute, and what's cute on the outfit and what's cute on you, not something that you've got to have because you got to trudge through a couple of feet of snow, which is we did up here last weekend, too, but... yeah, we know what we're doing. We know boots are not supposed to be utilitarian or whatever. But before we go any further, I want people to know that if you want to call in and talk to Savannah all day, ask her where she's playing next, what's going on, talk about her music, you can call in here 646-716-9922. That is a toll-free number anywhere in the U.S. So right now, I want to go ahead and play a song. I guess you know, because I think I usually tweet whenever I play your songs on here, and I'm so grateful that you let me do that.
Well, I'm so grateful that you are so willing to play my music and support just small artists. I really appreciate it.
Oh, hi. This is good. This stuff is good. And you're quite welcome. So, if you don't mind, I want to go ahead and play Don't Know Why, because that's one of our favorites here. To play on Madame Perry's Salon.
Well,
this song is just jamming, it's banging, it's... Well, okay, let's find out what it is right now. In case anybody doesn't know, you're going to remember this. Don't Know Why. Yeah, you wrote this song, didn't you?
I did. I wrote this one with a good friend of mine named Stephen Swain. So.
All right. So, folks, hold on. Don't Know Why, Savannah All Day.
Baby, tell me when I love lost its fire. desires. I don't understand why you keep me running around. Oh, baby, you keep breaking me. You keep break.
In that band.
We try. I have to give that one all up to my lead guitar player, Sam Green. I brought the song to him, just acoustic version, and said, hey, I would love for you to be on this album. This was the first time that I actually had guys from my band record on a song with me. And I said, you know, since this is for the Making CD and they nominated Savannah All Day Band, I wanted to have y'all on here for sure. And I gave him just the acoustic of it, and he went and hashed it out and brought it back to me. It was like, man, that's got some funk in it. Let's go.
Okay. All right. Yeah, why don't you tell us who your band is?
Of course, I'm Savannah All Day, lead singer. And then I have on lead guitar electric is Sam Green. My bass mm-hmm. player is Ben Alford. My rhythm guitarist, and I always crack up over my rhythm guitarist because we name him everything. He's my rhythm guitarist. He's my, you know, backup singer, my choreographer. I mean, he'll do anything that I need him to do. One of my favorite guys ever, Lee Gillis, and then my drummer, Michael Minshew.
Okay. And, yeah, these guys are tight. They got a lot of funk. They got a choreographer, you say. And just and for people listening, too, if you want to hear more, on your Reverb, you've got a great website, very professional, but you've also got a lot of stuff on your Reverb Nation, which is reverbnation.com/Savannah All Day, and a
yeah.
lot of things you've got coming up. Because if you're people listening live, if you're around Macon, she's going to be at the Crazy Bull on Saturday the 30th.
Yes, that's going to be me and my
guitarist Sam Green.
Yes, that is.
On that? See, I check these things out. Just so you know. And you've got videos on there, too. So that's a great Reverb Nation site to go check out, folks. So, you took this to Sam. And Sam said, yeah, I feel the funk in this.
Oh yeah, well, and it was funny because I said, "Here, we need to really start working on this." It was like a week before we had to go record it. We had just had so much going on. I was like, "Yeah, I really need to get something together for this because we don't want to just walk into the studio cold with nothing." And he went and in a night, like, figured out the whole song for us. I was like, "Oh, thank goodness!"
Now this is the one. So, and you're talking about getting ready to submit for the Making Music CD.
Yes.
All right. So tell us about getting on that. There's a lot of people submitted for this CD.
Yes. For me, since I had known Joey, I was one of the first people to get the email about it, and it was just but, you know, even knowing Joey, there were no guarantees of being on the mm-hmm. album because he knew quite a few of the artists. Just because of being in Macon and knowing everybody in the music. But I was one of the first to get the email about it, and I sent in videos and just did kind of what everybody else did, and it was just the luck of the draw to be selected, and I was really excited about it. It was a great experience.
And for people new to this, although new to the show, what happened was that said Joey Sucky wanted Macon to have something representative of music being made now. So there's a rich musical history in Macon, Georgia. But he was saying, you know, there's a lot of great music and musicians now across several genres of music. And he wanted something that the city would put together as part of, I think, something to do with the Convention and Visitors Bureau or Newtown Macon, right?
It was with Newtown Macon, yes.
And which is where it's also downloadable free still. And we've already told people that. So how did you feel when you first got the information that you were going to be, that you were out of the, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of people submitted for it, but when you got the call or the information that you were going to be on there?
I was really blown away because, you know, whenever you get selected for something, it's, you know, always such an honor. And we had turned in our information probably months prior to getting the notification about being selected. And so when we found out it wasn't really on our brains because they were having to go through the process of selecting, so they weren't really saying anything. So when we found out, we were, you know, surprised and were just really excited about it. And I was probably the one the most excited because I've always had such pride in the music heritage that you were talking about. But I've also been a big advocate for the fact that we do have new music and that the new music in town isn't always really represented and they're not always pushing it as hard as, you know, we as artists believe they could be, because we want to show that, you know, the music's not dead, that we could really have some great new things. You know, we just have somebody huge like Jason Aldean, so obviously the music's still here.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a part of something like the Macon CD, where that was really the mission to push the local artists and show everybody that, you know, there's so much music going on in town that they just need to be a part of, was fantastic. It was everything that I really have been wanting to do.
And, you know, I said when all of you guys were on the show to promote it, and I said, you know, to people, get this. I mean, it's free for Pete's sake, and there is not a clunker in the bunch. There's not a single. And if everything on there is so good across so many types of music, I'm thinking, I can imagine how many people didn't make it on there that are fantastic, too. I mean, such a...
Oh, exactly. Yes.
And I was down there a couple of months ago. I went down there to see Kim Meeks. And,
oh yes, Kim, yes.
Yeah,
she's fantastic.
She's a sweet girl. So when and I love her voice too. And when but I remember I had to park, it was I think a Friday night maybe, but I had to park a couple blocks away, and as I was walking down to Main Street Pizza, seeing everywhere I walked, I just kept hearing live music coming out of different places, just live music, and I thought, oh, this is great. This is such a treasure. There's nothing like having live music.
No, I mean, and you never hear in all of the restaurants or cafes that you go to around town, there's just nobody that's really bad. You never hear any bad artists, and so that's what's great about it.
Yeah, so this was fantastic. Now, I want to play another song I have here, and that's on your Reverb Nation site. It's called Hold On. So tell us about this one before you play it.
Well, Hold On, I was actually one of the songs that was given to me by my friend Charlie Gilbert, who I wrote another song of mine called Hard Edge Woman that I actually shot a music video for. He had written a song I think maybe a few months before we had gotten to know each other, and after we wrote Hard Edge Woman, he brought me this one and was like, you know, you're going in that rock style and I really want to, you know, I really think I have a song that fits you. And he brought me this one, and it's all about kind of the idea of being with somebody and them being far away and you loving them, and even them being there even when, you know, in the song, you know, the lights of fame are over and things like that. But it's just the idea of having that long distance relationship and that person being there for you. And at the time I was in a long distance relationship, so it really resonated with me, and I thought it was a great rocking song and going in the direction of the new sound I was looking for.
All right. That's an intriguing description. I like that a lot. So okay, now we should we should go ahead and play. Hold on.
Gilbert, and man, does he not tear up the guitar?
Charlie Gilbert, you tear it up.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Thank you so much for giving this song to our girl. Wow, I love that. And anyone that listens to the show knows I love a good dance break in the studio too. So this is out of sight. This is great, and this is also available on your Reverb Nation page,
yes.
Savannah Aldrey.
Yes.
Girl, how did you? How do you describe your music? Do you consider a rocker or country, or you got funk in there?
I like to consider myself as a blues rocker. That's kind of what I go for. I like, I do songs like I'd Rather Go Blind, where I kind of, have that crying like power in it, and then I do songs like this that are very much more on my rock side. So I kind of like to blend them.
You did great. And so now let me ask you this. You're going to school at Belmont in Nashville. Where will people still be able to hear you play? You're not going to, I mean, you don't want your band to, you know, you don't want to leave your band out there loose. Yeah, they can get picked up by other singers. I know. I've fronted a band myself. I know. You can't leave them.
I'm planning to, we've already started booking some shows out towards the summer, so I'm planning through the summer to just stick with them and be doing some shows. But once I go up to Nashville, my plan is to, you know, start meeting people there and try to put a band together up in Nashville that I can go and do shows up in Tennessee with, or maybe North Georgia, and then on breaks try, like, you know, because with college you get all of December off, so try to get shows maybe like New Year's and around Christmas and things like that that I can do with my guys. And also, you know, if I take summers off and things like that, I can come home and do some shows with them. So I'm not going to totally leave them, but I'm also going to try to pick up another group as well.
I understand. That's how it is in the big time, honey. You got to have them. You got to have them on both coasts, every city, north, south. I understand that. I really do. So, what's coming up next for you that you want us to know about? Have you got another EP in the works or CD?
Right now, I am starting writing with a friend of mine, Louise Warren, and we're going to start laying some stuff out, trying to get some songs going and flowing, and hopefully, I would love to by summer to be laying down some tracks and getting out a new EP. That would be phenomenal because, you know, my sound has definitely changed since that first EP.
Yeah, and you have just grown so much in such a short time. It's just fantastic. You are exactly where you in the field in which you need to be. And as I said here, a star rising fast and hot. And I am just so thrilled that you could, after doing everything you do and then being up in Nashville and coming back here through Snowstorm Jonas, you still made time for us here to come into Madame Perry's Salon. And I really do appreciate that, Savannah.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Really,
I'm delighted. And so, you got to come back soon, okay? Come back very, very soon.
I would love to.
All right. And so, instead of this bit, the folks, I've got information here. And, of course, Savannah, don't remember, this show is downloadable free on iTunes afterwards. So go ahead and add it into your media room or whatever on your website and tell people to please come visit you and get to know a little bit about you here, too. And also, I've got the link to her website, and you can also catch her on Reverb Nation right here. Also, thanks to my other guest earlier in the evening, Chad A. Clark. Get his 70 short stories, A Shade for Every Season, and visit his blog, The Baked Scribed. Visit my cool sponsors, Common Pocket Player, for those adorable stuffed toys. You like stuffed toys? Little stuffed plush?
I do.
Cuddly toys?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how
you guys. I have quite a few.
Oh, really? Yeah. So they've got these. And Common Pocket Player, you know, is all about pool, you know, pool and billiards and stuff like that. But they have all these little cute things and parties online. So they have, this is things where you can get a little bandana around your stuffed plush toy and have it embroidered the way you want it. They send it to you. And then also, don't forget our other sponsor tonight, Diane Emerson, and her book, Psychopaths in Our Lives, My Interviews. You know, Savannah, we all know a few psychopaths in the biz now and then. But mostly it's good people, right?
Mostly, but yeah, I would definitely say there are a few borderline psychopaths in the business.
Every now and then. Fortunately, they're not that many, but yeah, so we all have to watch out for stuff. And, of course, you know, we open and close with the song, The Theme to Madame Perry's Salon, Miss Eve's Vacation, written and performed by my favorite guitarist, Denton Perry. So before we go, I want to say thanks again, Chad Clark, Savannah Allday. Savannah, you will come back?
Yes, definitely.
All right, and if you're listening live right now, you can catch her May 30th at, tell me the name again. Is it the Magic Bull?
The Crazy Bull.
Crazy Bull. The magic bull, magic. The crazy bull. Okay. Yeah, just ask the Meek sisters. They'll tell you I always get these names whacked out and crazy like that. So, yeah, at the Crazy Bull in Macon, Georgia. And thanks so much. And remember, Madam Perry loves you. If you like music, if you like good books, if you like good music, support it. Go out and see authors, see writers. See writers. Read books, leave reviews for them on Goodreads, Amazon, wherever. If you like live music, get out and meet the musicians. Go out and see them, buy their music. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Reverb Nation, and buy the music. Give them love, give them support. All right, and thanks again, and we'll see you next time.